Joshua chapter 2. Now, Joshua is taking over for Moses, has taken over for Moses. And chapter 1 was about him being strong and courageous, and how he was to be that before the Lord. Have not I commanded you, be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And the latter part of chapter 1 then was that the people wanted that they wanted and needed Joshua to stand firm and lead and be courageous and take them on their way. And that is something that many religious leaders do not do, and other leaders do not do. They do not stand in the gap and keep out things that shouldn't come in. And so that's chapter 1. Then, chapter 2, we start moving on the land. Joshua the son of Nun sent two men as spies secretly from Chittim, saying, go view the land, especially Jericho. So they went and came into the house of a harlot whose name was Rahab, and lodged there. It was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, men from the sons of Israel have come here tonight to search out the land. And the king of Jericho sent word to Rahab, saying, bring out the men who have come to you, who have entered your house, for they have come to search out all the land. But the woman had taken the two men and hidden them, and she said, yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they were from. It came about when it was time to shut the gate at dark that the men went out. I do not know where the men went. Pursue them quickly, for you will overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof and hidden them in the stalks of flax which she had laid in order on the roof. So the men pursued them on the road to the Jordan, to the fords, and as soon as those who were pursuing them had gone out, they shut the gate. And before they lay down, she came up to them on the roof and said to the men, I know that the Lord has given you the land, and that the terror of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land have melted away before you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, to Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. When we heard it, our hearts melted, and no courage remained in any man any longer because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. Now therefore, please swear to me by the Lord, since I have dealt kindly with you, you also will deal kindly with my father's household and give me a pledge of truth, and spare my father and my mother and my brothers and my sisters with all who belong to them, and deliver our lives from death. So the men said to her, our life for yours, if you do not tell this business of ours. And it shall come about when the Lord gives us the land that we will deal kindly and faithfully with you. Then she let them down by a rope through the window, for her house was on the city wall, so that she was living on the wall. She said to them, go to the hill country, so that the pursuers will not happen upon you, and hide yourselves there for 3 days until the pursuers return. Then afterward you may go on your way. The men said to her, we shall be free from this oath to you, which you have made us swear, unless when we come into the land, you tie this cord of scarlet thread in the window through which you let us down, and gather to yourself into the house your father and your mother and your brothers and all your father's household. It shall come about that anyone who goes out of the doors of your house into the street, his blood shall be on his own head, and we shall be free. But anyone who is with you in the house, his blood shall be on our head if a hand is laid on him. But if you tell this business of ours, then we shall be free from the oath which you have made us swear. She said, according to your words, so be it. So she sent them away, and they departed, and she tied the scarlet cord in the window. They departed and came to the hill country and remained there for 3 days until the pursuers returned. Now the pursuers had sought them all along the road, but had not found them. Then the two men returned and came down from the hill country and crossed over and came to Joshua, the son of Nun. And they related to him all that had happened to them. They said to Joshua, "Surely the Lord has given all the land into our hands. Moreover, with the inhabitants of the land have melted, all the inhabitants of the land have melted away before us." Let's pray. Lord, we see your sovereign and providential care for your people here. What a wonderful meeting they had there in Jericho with the one that seems we see of all the people in Jericho who would help them and would, by in doing that, save herself and her family. And I pray, Lord, as we look at it, we would get from it what is there and be careful not to put there what is not. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We have expectations in this world based upon what a person is or does or says he is. We expect maybe our doctors to be very healthy because they tell us to be healthy. They tell us not to eat too much, we expect them not to eat too much. They tell us to exercise, we expect them to exercise. But you know, they don't always do that. Did you know that some doctors are out of shape? Some doctors are overweight. Some doctors smoke. We wouldn't maybe expect that, but there it is. Dr. Thomas in India went to a tract evangelism conference once, and he was there a day or two, and there were no tracts at the tract evangelism conference. There were no going out into the area and passing out tracts. He said, "Why would you not have tracts at a tract evangelism conference?" So he got a hold of some and went out and did tract evangelism, which is a very, very popular method of evangelism in India. But you would expect that. Every time I hear a shooting on a military base, I expect that whoever would even think to do such a thing would be shot so many times from so many different directions by so many different soldiers that you could hold him up against the light, against the wall, and there would be pinpricks on the wall shining through him for all the bullets that went through him. But they don't have guns. Who would ever think of that? This happened a decade ago or more. When I first heard about it, you would expect that a military base would have guns on them. No. And they haven't fixed it since. It's amazing. Well, one thing you don't expect is for what we see here to happen, and it happens many times in Scripture, that a harlot is more open to the work of God and the Word of God than religious elite people are. You remember Jesus said about the Pharisees, "Harlots and tax collectors enter the kingdom of heaven before you." That is to say that the religious elite, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the scribes, who you would expect to know the Word of God, to be for God, to be for God's purposes, to be on the inside track of understanding what God is doing, they were the farthest away. Because they didn't think they had any need to be forgiven. They didn't believe they were sinful. But the harlots, they thought they were sinful because they were very sinful. The tax collectors, they knew they were sinful. They were thieves. They took coming and going and took more than they were supposed to. They were the richest ones. Everybody hated them. Unlike today when everybody loves tax collectors. I mean, they were hated. And so you wouldn't expect, and the Pharisees didn't expect, all these sinners to come to Jesus. They should have been the only ones. That people like them who didn't need to be forgiven for sin. And Jesus said, you know, those who are well don't need a physician, but those who are sick. The harlots were sick. The tax collectors were sick. The Pharisees were not sick. So they were the farthest from the kingdom of heaven. But here in Joshua, there is a harlot, Rahab, who is targeted for the grace of God. Rahab, in this story, Rahab is noted in the New Testament three times, at least. Rahab, this Rahab right here, she is a harlot. We know what that is. She lived on the city wall. That's how thick the walls were in cities. They were thick, and you could live in them. And she had a roof on top of the wall, and she had rooms there in the wall. It wasn't like, you know, a little thin wall like that. It was the city walls were thick. They were meant to keep out armies. A thin wall, you go up and knock down with a sledgehammer. These were thick walls. She lived in those thick walls. And as a harlot, that would be a good place to, you know, catch all the traffic from both in the city and outside the city, frankly. And this is where the spies went. They came to her house. And probably, as far as learning information, they were there to learn information about the land. That they would learn more from her than they would from others, even if others would help them. Because she was, as a harlot, she would hear a lot of things and see a lot of people, and that was her job. So when they went, they came to her. And in doing that, they were finding out more about the land. And as stealthy as they were, it was still found out. I imagine that if you're spying out the land, you want to blend in as much as possible. What could be more common to see than a couple of strange men going into the visit the home of a harlot? And that's what they did. But the king of Jericho heard about it and sent word to her, as we saw. And they were there, and yet she said they were not. We'll get to that in a little bit. Rahab turns out to be in the line of King David. Rahab will, in Matthew chapter 1, verse 5, she is noted in the line of King David, which means she is in the messianic line, a harlot in Jericho becomes that. Now, in the genealogy in Matthew 1, there's a lot of gaps in it. What genealogies would do, they would mention names that were known, well known, to bridge the gaps, to say this led to this, and that was just the way a lot of them did, to make it briefer, because otherwise, you know, genealogies can go forever. So she's mentioned in the line of the messianic line of King David. In Hebrews, it says this about her. Verse 31, by faith Rahab the harlot did not perish along with those who were disobedient after she had welcomed the spies in peace. So she, by faith, did not perish. She welcomed the spies in peace, whereas the others were disobedient. Rahab was, I mentioned not too long ago, about being courageous. We started in chapter 1. I did it last week too. But even before that, we noted in Revelation some of that. But the Revelation 21 talks about cowards being, you know, doomed. Her courageousness was that she received the spies. She sided with Israel. She did not side with her city. She did not side with her people. She made a step of trust because no land had been taken. Israel had not even crossed over. And she was picking her side. And she's mentioned as a hero of faith in Hebrews. And James chapter 2, verse 25 says this, in the same way was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them away by another way? She was justified by works, meaning she showed her faith by her works. In James' parlance, that the thing she did was not just say, "I hope you have a good spy mission." She helped them. She came out for them. She was not just flattering to get off and to live. She was for them. She helped them. And James notes that as evidence that she was truly a believer. Now, she wasn't a believer before. I don't know if you've been keeping up with the list in Scripture through the years. Harlots, by being harlots, are not showing evidence of salvation. If you're a harlot and you come to Christ and you're a harlot the next day after that, you missed the visitation there somewhere. Those things are not compatible. Yet, because she was a harlot, do you notice that in Hebrews 11 and in James 2, she's called Rahab the harlot? It's one of those names that stick to you. She's the harlot. That's how you identify Rahab, that Rahab from other Rahab. She's Rahab the harlot. She wasn't a harlot after this. She has blessed. She's showcased by her faith. And that's what she's remembered as more than the harlot. But she's identified as a harlot before she became what she became. Now, we're told there that when they asked her to send the men out, which was, again, nothing unusual for men to be in the home of a harlot, to stay there even. And she said, well, yeah, they came, but they left before the gate, closed. They took off. And she had, in fact, hidden them, verse 4 tells us, and didn't tell them about it. Verse 6 details that. She had brought them up to the roof and hidden them in the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order on the roof. She put them in the stalks, hid them there. And she told the men who came to ask her, they were just here. You better run and get them. You can get them. And she'd shoot them off. That's what we call a lie. Now, that's always an issue when you deal with Rahab. She was a harlot, but she clearly was over that when she turned to the Lord and is noted as a person of faith. What about the lying here? Let me give an example. Someone's after my wife to do her harm. And she comes home. And they, of course, come to the house and look, and here I am. And they say, is your wife home? What am I supposed to do? I know what they're there for. They're trying to arrest. Let's say she was witnessing to somebody at Walmart, and they tried to arrest her, and she ran out, and they're after her, and they want to take her off to jail for that. Is your wife home? Oh, yeah, she's right back there in the closet. Let me show you. Is that what I'm supposed to do? It is a sticky situation. Can we imagine that Rahab would have been evidencing a change if she would have turned the spies over to the king of Jericho? It doesn't seem compatible to the fact that she would do that, the fact that she is now a person of faith. The reason it's uncomfortable is because we don't want to put up exceptions to "you shall not lie." Because really, the Bible doesn't. And we don't want to open up the floodgates, because if you give sinners an inch, and we we've seen how much lying is part of society, and not just in Congress, but, you know, or the news media, but all over. And when you give a little bit of a, well, you know, Rahab lied. Look, she's in the Heroes of Faith chapter. Was it because she lied that she's there? No. I personally am all ready to give her a pass on this. Because, I mean, what are you going to do? A dog is chasing your little grandchild, and the dog comes to the door and barks. And what do you say? He's not in here. What do you say? You open the door. Right, here he is. Go get him. It's just, I'm ready to give her a pass. To me, this is more a fruit of salvation than an evidence of sin. I don't see what choice she had, given that she had come out of Jericho in her heart and for Israel. These spies were spies. They weren't publicly declaring themselves to be spies. They were hidden and they were stealthy and they were supposed to be unseen. And she helped them be that way. I think anybody who says, well, you know, I can lie because Rahab lied, is just, that's completely wrong. No one wants to make a principle here to say, well, you can lie only if this. And we don't want to say that because it's hard to put a principle on this. It's just, it'll get all whacked out. Abraham and Isaac lied about their wives and their sisters. That was sin. They said they were afraid that the people in the land would not fear God and would take their wives for themselves. But the Lord had already given them promises about having children with these women. And that was a lack of faith, not a exercise of faith. Rahab was exercising faith. There are just differences here, and I'm willing to say okay. And, if you take a harder line, then everybody's got sin. Her harlotry was a bigger sin than her lying. She stopped that, and I assume after this, she stopped her lying. I'm ready to give her a pass. But if she did lie, then some say, well, she just need to repent of it and confess it. Fine, I'm fine with that, too. But a few things about this, though. Now, she came, and they came, and they did exactly what she said. She went up there after the ones looking for them left and said in verse 9, I know that the Lord has given you the land and that the terror of you has fallen on us and that all the inhabitants of the land have melted away before you. Now just stop there for a moment. That is her knowledge of something that everybody in the city knows. She is saying what everybody in the city knows, that the Lord has given you the land, that the terror of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land have melted away before you. They all know that. They all know in verse 10 what they did on the other side. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt, what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, to Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. We heard it. Our hearts melted. And no courage remained in any man any longer because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. She is stating there what everybody in the city knows now. They've heard that. They've heard all the way back 40 years in crossing the Red Sea even. Now it says in Hebrews 11 again, let me read that again. By faith Rahab the harlot did not perish along with those who were disobedient after she had welcomed the spies in peace. Everybody knew exactly what Rahab had just given to the spies to know. They know it. Why, instead of remaining disobedient, why didn't they try to make peace with Israel? Only Rahab and her family through Rahab did. If they're melting, every Christmas, or at least in the winter, on WLOS TV, channel 13 out of Asheville, North Carolina, one of the three channels that we got growing up. The snowman in July. You could go on YouTube, I bet, and search for Snowman in July and watch the whole 10, 15 minutes of it, probably. I don't recommend it. I mean, it was a very popular cartoon. The snowman wanted to live till July. So he stuck himself in a freezer until July. And when July came, he was running out in the field in the heat of summer. Melting as he went. And in a little while, he was completely water. All that was left was his carrot of a nose, which a rabbit picked up and took for himself. If you're in the heat, Mr. Snowman, get back in the freezer. He was enjoying the July, and he was there, and I guess living in a freezer wasn't that great anyway. If you're melting away in Jericho, get right with the ones who are making you melt. Let's make peace. Only Rahab does. Everybody else has said to remain in disobedience. Nobody else had the courage. Nobody else had the commitment. Nobody else had the faith. And so she says, this is exactly what we know. We know this. So since we know that, swear to me by the Lord, since I've dealt kindly with you, that you will also deal kindly with my father's household and give me a pledge of truth. Spare my father, my mother, my brothers, and my sisters with all who belong to them, and deliver our lives from death. She knew exactly what she wanted. She went for it. She said, I'm coming out. I'm doing this. Will you spare our lives? And they said, yes, we will, as long as you don't tell and you stay in the house when we come through. You let it known. You let somebody out of the house. We're free of this. She's good with it. And they also said, make sure you tie a scarlet cord in the window where you lowered us. If that's missing, we don't know where you are. I note, I think this is the way she should be. That when they said that, verse 21, she said, according to your word, so be it. So she sent them away, and they departed, and she tied the scarlet cord in the window. She just told them to wait up in the mountains for 3 days. Then they would have to go back, then cross over. Would you wait until later to tie the cord? Obviously, her family, unless they lived there already, her family, they're not going to be there. And I doubt her family was living in the house of a harlot with her. That would wait for later. But right then, she tied the scarlet. That was done. That part is done. Everything she could do, she no any chances at all. That was her immediate action. They went back. Verse 22, they departed, came to the hill country, stayed there for 3 days until the pursuers returned, and they sought them all along the road but had not found them. The two men returned and came down from the hill country and crossed over, came to Joshua, the son of Nun. They related him all that had happened to them, and they said to Joshua, surely the Lord has given all the land into our hands. Moreover, all the inhabitants of the land have melted away before us. Now that is connected still in these first two chapters. To the two parts of chapter 1, be strong and courageous, be strong and courageous, be strong and courageous. It is said a number of times. And here now there is evidence from Jericho about how strong and courageous we should be, because we found out that they're all melting because of us. The Lord has surely given us the land. Boost the confidence of even the most fearful. That's what That's what the meeting had produced. Confidence, more confidence. And in God's plan, the salvation of a harlot. And a better life for her, more righteous. It's hard to say more righteous because it wasn't righteous before. Her lying is never commended by the Lord, only her faith. And, you know, nobody's saying that, you know, she was a harlot. So why can't I be a harlot? She was, and look how she turned out. No, it was, we're picking here. She was where she needed to be for the aid of the people of Israel. On the wall where a harlot would more likely be, maybe. In a convenient place. A place where they could find out more about the land. And they did. Got a good bit of information. They're spies, after all. And her actions were in line, as far as I'm concerned, with saving faith. She, as James says, showed her faith by her works when she received the messages and sent them out by another way. He doesn't mention lying either, but that was part of the whole thing. But that's never commended. It's just part of what happened. What is commended is her faith and her protection of the spies. And she did that, even if she lied to do it, which is, at worst, it's a sin that she's forgiven for. And we would never make a principle of it. You know, you can. I think we all would lie in certain cases to protect those we love who are under immediate threat of danger. I wouldn't tell a terrorist where to find my family. Would you? She was in a sticky spot. She covered them and they went on their way. And so that's the story of Rahab. From here on, she may be called Rahab the harlot, but really, every time you hear of Rahab the harlot, you hear of Rahab the ex-harlot because of her faith. Any comments you have?